You're listening to Proven Perspectives, a podcast with John Hawkins, the founder of Leadership Edge Incorporated. I'm Laura, John's daughter, and in each episode, we will explore a topic related to life, leadership, or mentoring. Through nearly 50 years of faith in Christ, John has learned proven life and leadership perspectives that will equip listeners for a lifestyle of leadership in their marriages, families, careers, communities, and churches. Hey, Dad.
Laura, it is great to talk to you.
I know. It's great to talk to you. And I'm really excited that we're recording this podcast. In fact, I think this is one that's going to be really helpful to Adam and I personally. But I have to say, I'm even more excited for when we finish because you're in town and we're going to go get coffee in Costco, do a Costco run, which must mean that we're getting really old, or at least I am.
Yes. So listeners, if we rush right through this, it's just because we want to get to the coffee in Costco.
Right. But yeah, it is so fun to get to do these with you, and it's even better to be in person with you. So yeah, so excited.
Glad to be here. Glad for us to do it.
Okay, so our awesome topic for today, I think will be really helpful. It's parenting in the new normal, showing your kids belief and obedience amidst the uncertainties. So, Dad, and we have some show notes that we're going to link to, but can you just kind of open up this topic?
Oh, you bet. So, everything's in the new normal, and we guess this is the new normal. Maybe yes. 6 months from now, it'll be the old not-so-normal. But in this season of all the craziness, especially in the U.S. Part of the world right now, a lot of things are being challenged, and one of the things we're seeing is just how family life is in some ways being really blessed because there's a lot of time to be with each other, and yet in some ways that's really a challenge too, and a lot of stress in family life. So we just wanted to try to get back to some fundamental basic biblical concepts that would really help as parents are trying to negotiate the challenges of this current moment of family life.
Yeah. Well, and I know this is something that was originally written for like a workshop you're doing at church. So this is kind of fun that I get to go through this workshop with you and yes. Pick your brain. So, and you kind of talked about this, but yeah, just that this is a season where so many parents feel kind of like we're failing. And I think some of it depends on the day, you know, like it's not always like that. I mean, I think even before COVID, there were a lot of days that I and, you know, probably a lot of parents felt like, you know, I could have done better or whatever. But yeah, I mean,
absolutely.
Yeah. So you, what are your thoughts about?
Well, yeah, you know, I think that most parents, and I don't have data on this, so this is John Hawkins' gut, which tends to be 50% accurate, but I think most parents tend to have some, at least, shadow all the time of, I'm just not doing a good job, or I could be doing a much better job as a parent. I think parenting's one of those things that very few, if any, just consistently are thinking, man, I'm just knocking it out of the ballpark as a parent right now. I think that with COVID, the pandemic hitting in our country and other kinds of cultural uncertainties in our country right now, I think that they have put additional pressure on parents and family to where, honestly, I don't know anyone who thinks they're doing a very good job, and I think some are really feeling lost because there's a lot more time to be with each other, as I said earlier, but sometimes that's just makes it even more challenging. And then schedules and work and school online instead of in school buildings and trying to keep our families safe from the pandemic, a lot of challenges right now.
Yeah, no, totally. And it is, it's just one of those things, you know, like your kids are so, so precious. And it's, and it is just like, you just want to do a good job. But I mean, the reality is we just can't do a good, you know, like in our own strength, we just can't do a good enough job. Absolutely. I know you had a scenario that we're going to go through. So I'll read it off, okay, and then I'll send a question to you. So the scenario is, okay, Jack and Rachel collapse into bed at the end of another unsettling day. Their kids' schooling and educational technology are still fragmented. Their teenager Trent is increasingly withdrawn, and their sixth grader Abby is continually pushing against their family's COVID-19 restrictions in order to be with more of her friends. Jack and Rachel both wonder how much longer Jack's employment at his current salary level will last. And it appears that Rachel's mom is in the early stages of dementia. They've got a lot going on. As these days go on, Jack and Rachel grow distant from each other and are just trying to make their own way through the daily challenges. Church involvement is at a minimum for their family and is mainly perfunctory. So, Dad, the question is, what do Jack and Rachel and their family need?
Yeah. And it's easy to say they just need a fairy godmother to show up with magic wand and fix the schooling, fix the technology that's not working for their kids at home, help Trent to figure out why he's in such a funk, and Abby to be compliant about not being out with her friends during COVID. And they need Jack's employment to get all fixed so his salary doesn't go down, and they need Rachel's mom, God bless her, to be whisked out of dementia.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they need some things in their own relationship to where they're growing distant from each other, they're just trying to get through it individually, and their church, the role of the church maybe in their lives needs to be changed. So, you know, we could just say, well, they just need someone to change everything.
Mm-hmm.
And yet I was thinking, it seems like in my better moments, I'm always thinking of an Elizabeth Elliot quote. And I was thinking of something that Elizabeth Elliot said one time. This may not be exactly right, but she said something like, our hope is Christ in us, not us in a different set of circumstances.
Hmm.
So I'll say that one more time. Our hope is Christ in us, not us in a different set of circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
So it's easy to read this story, and there's parts of it that many of us would connect with and just think, man, if I could just get that to change, or if I could just get this to change. And yet, for those of us who have lived long enough, we realize, well, even if it changes, just then something else is going to show up. You know, mm-hmm. It's going to be another circumstance. So I guess one answer is we could say all of their circumstances, or at least some of their circumstances, need to change. But then I think, well, maybe that's not it. So if that's not it, then what is it?
Yeah.
And our title, again, as we mentioned, Parenting in the New Normal, Showing Your Kids Belief and Obedience Amid the Uncertainties, I think that gets at what needs to happen here. I think maybe Jack and Rachel need to have some time to think through, what am I actually believing in every day? What am I actually living out every day in my own faith walk with Christ, but also in relationship to my spouse and to my kids? Because whether the circumstances change or not, what's most important is for me to live out faith and obedience in Christ and model that for the members of my family. So I think that's the most important thing.
Man, that's good, Dad. Okay, well, I personally would love more insight into how to do that or how to get there. So why don't we go through the handout, Parenting in the New Normal. So will you kind of guide us through this? And again, I know we've already said this, but yeah, this is attached as part of the show notes. So listeners, check it out.
You bet. So I believe that you can summarize what God was saying to his people in the Old Testament in this phrase, remember and worship, then trust and obey. So what God was continually saying to his people was this: I want you, one, to remember who I am. And that's both who I am just in myself, but also who I am in terms of my covenant relationship with you. So I want you to remember me, and then I want from that remembrance for you to worship me. And then as you worship me, worshiping me for both who I am, but also for all that I've been for you in the past, I want that to fuel you in trusting me today and obeying me today. Hmm. So remember and worship, then trust and obey.
Hmm.
And I think that that really gets at what parents and families need to remember today. Is who is God, even in this moment of just craziness and pressure we feel? Who is he just in himself? But who is he in terms of who he's been for us in the past?
Mm.
How has he shown his faithfulness to us in the past? Mm. And how do we now, even in these circumstances that we don't like all of them, how do we worship him? And not just individually, like in our prayer closet, but with our spouse, with our children.
Yeah.
How do we worship him for who he is and who he has been for us in the past?
Yeah.
And then how does that fuel us into now trusting him today, no matter what the circumstances are, and obeying him today? There's a friend of ours, we don't know this woman really well, but she's a former member of our church in Durham, a woman named Allison Worsham.
Okay.
And Allison, in a newsletter that she and her husband sent out a number of years ago, she wrote in her newsletter this: there's not much to be gained from sitting fearfully by and expecting the worst. There's much to be gained by remembering God's past faithfulness and trusting in his future goodness and sovereignty.
Mm.
And I think that says it exactly right. You know, if we just take in this moment where there is a lot of pressure on families with from a lot of things, if we just sit fearfully by and expect the worst, not going to accomplish much.
Mm.
But as Allison said, there's much to be gained by remembering God's past faithfulness and trusting in his future goodness and sovereignty.
Mm. Yeah.
There's, you know, several verses in the Bible that, that really support this. Like one is Isaiah 25:1. It says, "O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will praise your name." And why is he worshiping him like that? It says, "For you have done wonderful things, plans formed of old, faithful and sure."
Hmm.
So it's the remembrance of who he's been for us in the past that is that which fuels our worship and then our trust and obedience. And another quote here from Tim and Kathy Keller in the commentary, devotional commentary they did on Psalm 66. They say, "The psalmist has spent the earlier part of this hymn of praise recounting great deeds of God in the past. He is now filled with gratitude and confidence." So he's been recounting what God's done. He's now filled with gratitude and confidence. "It is our part to remember these deeds and praise God so that our hearts remain confident and trusting in all circumstances." And then they quote John Newton. As John Newton put it in one of his hymns, "His love in times past forbids me to think that he'll leave me at last in troubles to sink."
Hmm.
So his love in the past, that forbids me, that like thwarts me, prevents me from believing that he's going to leave me now.
Hmm.
And then the Kellers go on, "These deeds are not just the things he has done for us personally, but they preeminently include Jesus' sacrifice of his own life for you." And then they wrap up by saying, remembering God's past love is the only way to face present stress with confidence and poise. And I'll read that one more time. Remembering God's past love is the only way to face present stress with confidence and poise.
Hmm. I mean, that's good.
You know, so
well,
if,
so,
Go ahead.
Okay, so I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Like, I'm trying to think, okay, so, like, really practically, because as we've established, a lot of parents, you know, there's a lot going on, and it's kind of, you know, what would it look like? I keep, like, the thread that I keep hearing between these quotes and the ideas that you're presenting in the Bible verses are, like, remembering, like, both what the Bible says about God and also who we have personally known him to be, like, so that today we can live by faith.
And in between there's
God.
The worship. Like, we remember.
Okay.
And that fuels us to worship him.
Okay.
And so, then it's from that worship that then we trust and obey.
Okay. Yeah. No, that's good. Okay. I was kind of jumping over that. So practically, like, what would that look like to do throughout the day? Like, I mean, I think, you know, probably a lot of us have our quiet times and maybe spend time in our quiet time, like, worshiping God and, you know, thanking him for his faithfulness. But, like, as the pressures of the day are happening, like, what would that look like? Do you have thoughts about what that would look like? Is that, like, praying out loud? Is it, like, speaking truth to yourself when you're tempted to, you know?
Yeah. Well, I you've divided it up into two good pieces, like what one would do with this in, like, the devotional time of their life, and then what one would do in, like, the crazy just in the middle of the day part of our life. And so on the devotional side, it would be a time of just thinking, who is God? Like, who does the Bible say God is? And who has he been for me in the past? And individually recounting those things, listing those things, maybe you and your spouse listing those things. And then with your children, you know, asking your children, depending upon their age, you know, what are some things, you know, right now is really hard, but what are some things that you can remember that God's done for us in the past that would give us hope? And then even with your kids, kind of brainstorming over God's faithfulness in the past. And then both individually, but then as a family, corporately, spending some time in worship of him. Both praising him for who he is, like, period, but then especially for who he's been for us in the past. And then with your kids through the day, you know, modeling for them this whole thing of, because of his faithfulness in the past, because of who he is, I can trust him today, no matter how frustrating, no matter how out of control it is, and I can obey him. And to model that for your children in your own life, but them to be encouraging them, you know, I know you're, you know, frustrated, you know, if you have a senior in high school and your senior year is just being blown up. But you really can trust that God will take care of you, and this won't be just a meaningless year. It will be a very different year.
Yeah.
But it won't be meaningless.
Yeah.
To where you as the parent are both kind of teaching this framework of remember, worship, trust, and obey. But then through the day, you're modeling it for your kids, and maybe being honest with your kids when it's difficult for you to model.
Yeah.
And then encouraging them to do the same. Because I think that this whole idea of modeling and imitation, I know we've, somewhere in the past months, we did a podcast on this. But, you know, in a lot of ways, in the New Testament, the way that one learned how to live the Christian life was through the modeling of older Christians for them, and then the imitation of that.
Yeah.
And that's especially like in Matthew 28:20 in the Great Commission, you know, teaching them to observe all I've commanded you. And so it's not just teaching them all I've commanded you, but teaching them to observe all I've commanded you. And then like in 1 Thessalonians 1, 7, and 8, and 1 Thessalonians 2, 14, where he's just talking about how he modeled for them, but then how they became a model for the whole region. And so a lot of the outworking of this in everyday life is as the parents, us, you know, leading our families in remember, worship, trust, and obey. and then us modeling that for our kids as we're with them throughout the day.
Hmm.
So, Lard, does that get at your question in terms of, so what does this look like in everyday life?
Yeah, no, it totally does. And I want to move on because there's a lot of good stuff in here and work, but I have a quick question.
Yeah.
So, like, when I think of worship, I think of, like, I tend to think of, like, worship music. So, like, maybe that's, like, you know, singing together as a family or, like, listening to it, you know, as we're, like, working on something at the table or whatever. Is that like what you're meaning by worship, or is it like what do you think? What does that mean to you?
Mm-hmm. Well, back to the Isaiah passage I quoted just a minute ago. It said, oh Lord, you're my God. I will exalt you. I will praise your name, for you have done wonderful things, plans formed of old, faithful and sure. And so it's linking our worship with who he is and what he's done,
mm-hmm.
to where we're saying, you know, God, you are a mighty God. You have covenanted with us. You have committed yourself to us. And God, right now we're floundering, but we praise you that in the past, when we were really up against the wall with this, you guided us.
Mm-hmm.
Or when we were really stuck here, you helped us.
Mm-hmm.
Or when we were really dealing with one of our family members being sick and we didn't know what was going to happen, and you brought us through.
Yeah.
To where it's worship related to who he is and what he's done in the past. So it could be worship music, especially if that worship music was related to worshiping God for his faithfulness to us in the past. And certainly,
yeah.
You know, one of the hymns that we just sang in our church this past Sunday is Great is Thy Faithfulness. And that would be an amazing hymn to use in worship related to this.
Yeah. No, this is really good, Dad. Okay, well, I want to move on through, like, the outline for this. So, one thing you have a little bit later, and you just basically said this, but we teach our kids every day by our words and actions how to remember, worship, trust, and obey. And then a little bit later, you wrote, there's a difference between families getting through this season and parents leveraging this opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us more about that.
Well, the getting through it is not a bad thing, you know.
It's better than the alternative.
Yeah, we all need to get through it. And there really are some times in life that are just so hard and you're so lost that really just to get through it with trust in God, that's it. And anything beyond that's gravy.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think in a really challenging season, whether it's a pandemic or whatever else it is, I think in those seasons, if our remembrance of who he is and worship of him is strong enough, and if that's compelling enough in our daily vision of the day, then we can be very confident that, oh yeah, this is tough, and yet we are going to get through it, and we are going to see God's faithfulness, and there will be a day that we'll turn back and look at this season, and we will be amazed at how faithful God was to us.
Hmm.
So I think the way that you leverage it is out of your faith in him, and not that it's all going to turn out perfectly, and like in the story that the woman's mother doesn't have dementia, or you know, that the different hard things aren't happening. Those may happen.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, again, as Elizabeth Elliot said, because our hope is Christ in us, not us in a different set of circumstances, we can be very hopeful, very confident, and have great courage and certainty as we move forward.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, this is really good. Well, and I think, like, one takeaway that I have so far is just to even spend more time reflecting. I mean, and it's not that I certainly can think of some ways off the top of my head, like even this week and certainly, like, over the years that God's been really faithful to me and my family. But, like, thinking through how to make that more of a regular part of the way that I talk with Adam and our kids, you know. So, yeah, this is all really helpful. Well, and so, Dad, one more question for you. So would you kind of like we try to tie things back into the Leadership Edge personal vision statement. Like, how does this topic relate to the personal vision statement?
Yeah, well, again, for our listeners, the personal vision statement is by God's grace to step forward as God's man or woman in my spheres of influence to serve His purposes for His glory. And so as parents in this time of new normal, we're stepping forward into family life that's different than we've really any of us have ever known in our lifetime. And so to step forward and serving His purposes for His glory is going to be different, and it is going to be very challenging for many, if not all of us. But I think that the personal vision statement reminds us, again, with the bookends of by God's grace and for God's glory, that there is a really good way to leverage this time, not just try to outlive it. And that is, if by God's grace every day we step forward as God's man or woman in our spheres of influence to serve His purposes, and if we do that for His glory that we want in our marriage and our family in this really difficult and for some very dark season in our country's history, for that to show the hope of Christ for God's honor and glory, then I think it gives us a frame of understanding our role. And it's difficult sometimes to understand, well, God, what are your purposes? Yeah. Like in that opening scenario where, you know, there's an uncertainty about his income and his job. Their high schooler is really frustrated and closing down. Their teenage daughter is up in arms because she can't be with all her friends. You know, to try to think through, God, what are your purposes here? And I think our phrase, remember and worship and then trust and obey, get at always one of God's purposes, no matter what the circumstances are, no matter how wonderful they are, no matter how dark and challenging they are.
Yeah.
That in this moment, one of God's purposes is for me to remember who He is, who He has been, and praise Him for that. And then because of that, to trust Him and to obey Him. And then again, as it says, for His glory. So I think that's how the PVS basically gives us some guidance around this idea of remember and worship and trust and obey.
Yeah. Man. Yeah, Dad, this is so good. I feel like this is... I mean, I could use this reminder every day, you know, just to, like, stop and worship. And again, not just in my quiet time, but, you know, like, throughout the day, in the moment that I'm tempted to think, like, you know, to just, like, change tracks and, like, remember, like, how has God been faithful, and, like, to mention that to my kids and to... like talk about it at the dinner table and like encourage them when they're stressed, like with that same chair. I mean, this is just like really, really good and such a, So feel free to remind me of this like next week, the next time we talk as well. I'll probably have it's just always good to have the reminder, I'll say.
Yes.
So why don't you wrap us up?
Well, again, listeners, you know, honestly, we wish you could all get in the car with us and go to coffee and Costco right now. But since you can't do that, we do just want to thank you for listening to these podcasts. We hope they're encouraging to you. Want to remind you again of the personal vision statement of Leadership Edge is by God's grace to step forward as God's man or woman in our spheres of influence to serve His purposes for His glory. And we just encourage you that if you would like to know more about the personal vision statement, if you'd like to receive the show notes on parenting in the new normal, or if you want to find out about how you can be trained to be a Leadership Edge mentor in your community and church, please go to our website, www.lead-edge.com, and you can find out more information. So with Laura, with that, I'll turn it back to you.
Great. Thanks so much, Dad. And listeners, thanks for joining us.
Listeners, if you would like to find out more about John's thoughts on life, leadership, and mentoring, please go to the Leadership Edge website at www.lead-edge.com. Or if you have questions or ideas of topics for future podcasts, please reach out to us at lai@lead-edge.com. We look forward to hearing from you.